Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to just be, right? Be in God's presence and to be connected with who He is as He's working in us. If you are blessed today, yes, if you are blessed today, I just want you to give God some praise right now. Lift up those hands, clap those hands, put some emoticons in the chat, those clapping emoticons, those hallelujah hands, whatever you need to do just to thank the Lord for another day. So often we do, we take our days for granted, but this is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, as we've entered into this month of February, it is Black History Month, and I just wanted to just lift up someone each Sunday that the Lord just puts on my heart. And today, Mae Jemison, the first African American woman that entered space. Now, I must tell you, man, I give kudos to her. She has had so many other things that she's done, but the fact going into space, that is amazing me. I've never desired to go into space. Getting into an airplane and flying from one place is high enough for me. I gave up roller coasters 20 years ago. And so I salute the gift that God has put in her life and all others that assisted and helped in that progress. Her parents, those who trained her up, uncles, aunties, to put that mindset in her heart and help her to achieve that goal of entering the space. So we salute her today. And I want to encourage you to continue as Christians, as living epistles, as we are truly allowing God to transform us from the inside out. It is so important. People are looking for hope. Our society is becoming hopeless in so many areas, especially as we've got the wars that are going on in various places and just stress, stress, stress. But greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. We have put so much on ebcnc.com that you can be encouraged. One thing is our Bible reading program. We are chronologically going through the Bible together. And as you can see in my backdrop, it says the Word of God. We are going to dig deep today in the Word of God. But the Word of God, I found over these years, that is what assists us and helps us and encourages us. So I encourage you to stay in the Word. We've got Bible studies throughout the week on our virtual connection and in person. Mondays, we have Monday Manna at 7 o'clock on that virtual connection. Tuesday, we have noonday Bible study. We're actually going through the book of Genesis, and I'm telling you, it's been challenging as we've been looking at the saga of the different patriarchs and matriarchs of the Bible. And then on Wednesday on our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke, and we're right there at the burial place. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, and we're going to see him, how he impacts so many from that point of coming out of the grave to walking down the Emmaus road. Thank God for Jesus. Also on Thursday, we have our in-person Bible study right in our sanctuary at Twin 700 West Vandalia Road at 6 p.m. 6 to 7, we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and that's been challenging also as we've been comparing the Word of God to our lives so that we can be changed and really stand on what God has said. Please continue to pray for our 8:45 service, in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and of course, this 10 o'clock online, which has been such a blessing to the community and abroad that we can reach out and share God's word. Well, I'm thinking about the word today that the Lord has put on my heart, and I must tell you, I am just excited to get into it. But before I get there, thank you for your giving. Thank you how you blessed Ebenezer. It talks about in the scripture that we can purpose on our heart and we can give not grudgingly or of necessity because God loves a cheerful giver. So I want to thank you. Thank you for all you do, whether you're giving it online or you're giving it in our in-person service or sending it to our secure mailbox. I just want to say personally, thank you. And for all the leaders and Ebenezer's body as a whole, thank you for all that you do. Well, prepare your heart. I'm telling you, get those notepads out, whatever you need. We're going to take a deep dive today as we get back to the basics. And specifically, we'll be talking about that topic that was given to me a few Sundays ago, the blood. We're going to be dealing with that today. Well, I want you to focus on the Lord, and we'll see you soon.
I'll be reading from Revelations 21, 1 through 8. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death."
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child who will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today, so give it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their own, give it all. He wants it all, and he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all of you, more of you, he wants it all today. Ooh, all of you, more of you, he today, today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. So give it all. There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give all. He wants it all.
Isn't it good to know that he does? He wants all of us. He wants us to live as living sacrifice to him. Well, we're getting back into that theme that we've been dealing with starting the new year, back to the basics. Basically, I told you a few Sundays ago, got topics from many of the members and a lot of the young generation too, just wanted to know some back to the basic things. Being at Ebenezer almost 25 years, I have gone through so much. And sometimes, you know, as the Lord is dealing with my heart, I'll go into one section and maybe not deal with something in a detail. And so these topics help me kind of focus in and pray through it. And we have actually been dealing with that topic of the blood. And we're going to continue on with that today. But before we get there, I want us to get back to our memory scripture. We started that on last Sunday out of James 1:26 and 1:27. And as we have been reading it aloud, we're going to read it aloud together so it can get into our minds and seep into our hearts. So hope you are ready. But before we read that, I want you to go in a word of prayer with me. Father, I just thank you so much for your immense grace and mercy for this day that you have made. Lord, thank you so much for your word that really is the foundation of our lives and helps in that transformative process that you're doing in us. Now, Lord, I pray for those that are listening and viewing in and will in the future, Father, if they're not saved, I pray that they know you today, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know us by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift today. Now, Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I sent you here. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's get into that memory scripture. Again, I want you to read it aloud with me. Yes, wherever you're sitting at or standing at, I know some of you may be on break, so you can't read it real loud, just kind of mumble it. So we just want to kind of process it so it can get in us. Let's read together James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Man, give yourself a hand clap. You did a great job reading that aloud with me. Well, today, again, getting back to that topic under that theme of back to the basics, the blood. We started kind of digging in on that on last Sunday. You know, while I was preaching and teaching through that, Lord kind of ministered to my heart and took me to a section of scripture that I hadn't really dealt with. I've talked about it. Of course, I've taught through it in Bible studies, but not in this kind of detailed manner as really focusing in on blood. Now, I just want you to know there are a lot of scriptures today we're going to be digging into. So get your note taken, lean in and try to stay focused because we're going to be throughout the Bible today pulling in. And I just thank God for his spirit as he ministered to my heart as we're dealing with that topic, the blood. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And I want you to look at that 13th verse. For those who have been reading through the Bible with us, our chronological reading, we just came through that section. So this should be very, very fresh to you so that you can pull back on that and we can build. The Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts. So Exodus 12:13, it reads, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Listen to that again. I'm telling you that whole section of scripture, it's a heavy piece, but it has this nugget right there, this diamond, that 13th verse. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. I want to speak from a title today, Covered in the Blood. Yes, covered in the blood. Time frame is about 1445 BC. And as we have gone through Exodus, we are actually read together through the book of Exodus. You see how God has blessed the children of Israel to escape out of the bondage of the Egyptians. Now, this is so important because God actually uses Pharaoh as an example by hardening his heart. If you were in our Bible study the other day at Tuesday, as we're going through the book of Genesis, I talked about some comparisons with Jacob/Israel and him leaving from Laban's house, and comparing that to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And there are a lot of comparisons there. But as we think about Pharaoh, his heart was hardened. He was refusing to let the children of Israel go. But God does this so that he can show forth plagues. Some of the plagues that were built up to this point, he's actually turned the water into blood. That was one of the first one. And I did. It struck me as I was studying this. I was like, okay, water the blood. And we're talking about that blood. It all ties back to that. There was a purpose in that water turning the blood. Also, the frogs, lice, flies, livestock and pestilence, boils, you remember that, hail, locusts, and then darkness upon the land. And then the one that is the 10th one, and I would say the most devastating, is the firstborn of the households dying because Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel leave. So let's jump into this 12th chapter that kind of builds up to this 10th plague, and we learn so much about the blood. We're covered in the blood. It says in that first verse, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." Here's our first point. A lamb. Yes, a lamb. Man, I've been blessed to be able to go through this chapter over and over again. And there's some points that came out. God is focusing on, at least in this first scripture, a lamb. God speaks to Moses and Aaron to establish the first Passover. Yes, this is the first Passover. Orthodox Jews, they still celebrate it even in this season of our time. This Passover, going back, thinking about the covering of the blood. Notice God actually establishes this because I want you to know that Easter or Resurrection Day is coming up on our calendar, March 31st. And so this would actually fall in the month of Abib, which would be March/April. God was very specific in showing a lot of our holidays are just kind of put a stagnant on the calendar, but Resurrection Day, it actually moves according to the moon, and that's how the lunar calendar, they keep up with this. Remember again, this is the final climatical plague, this 10th plague, where a firstborn child in each Egyptian household will die. And God makes special provisions, which we're going to find out, via the blood of covering the people that of Israel so that their children will not die. As we see this, God says, I want you to get a lamb. This is a real lamb. Okay, they had flocks and herds because the Egyptians were doing a transfer of wealth to them. God was working on their hearts. So they had these flocks here, and God said, I want you to get a lamb. This symbol, please get this, that cute little lamb, it is a symbol of the Lamb of God to come. I want to say that again. It's a symbol of the Lamb of God to come. You know his name. Can you put in the chat, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? I'm talking about covered in the blood. Remember John the Baptizer. He used this same terminology that we see with this Passover in Exodus. John 1:29, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, here it is, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is prepared before me, for he was before me covered in the blood. This was not by mistake or happenstance. This was the movement of the Spirit of God tying back this whole topic of the blood and why it's so important, and really putting a foundation point in Exodus 12, where God said, I want you to get a lamb. Paul speaks of Passover and significance in 1 Corinthians 5:7. He says, therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. Look at this last part. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us, covered in the blood. I told you we're going to dig deep today. That blood is so important. Notice as it continues on in that fourth verse, and if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Look at that fifth verse. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Here's our second part. I hope you're with me. I told you, I want you to stay focused. The point is your lamb. Yes, so we talked about a lamb. Now we're making it more personal. Your lamb. There were actually in the scriptures provisions for those who would get a lamb and they had a smaller household. And so you got this lamb and you couldn't eat it all. And so God didn't want any waste. And in order to keep it from being wasted, he said, you can come along with your neighbor and you can share in that lamb. That began to, you know, really push my mind to another part in Matthew 22:37 of what Jesus said to him. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And that 39th verse really kind of grabbed me. It says, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, covered in the blood. Even with this lamb, God is saying, hey, you can share it. You can share it amongst those that are right next to you. And in that, what God is doing in our lives, we are covered in the blood. We just can't keep this transformative process that's taking place in our heart to ourselves. We got to let the people know that are around us that God is good. Any witnesses out there? Look at this Exodus 12:5 again. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish. That's a personal term. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. This is so important because the symbol, again, it is talking about the blood, but it is making that comparison to Jesus Christ as that lamb, as we said earlier. The Apostle Peter speaks of this symbol in the form of sinlessness, thinking about the life of Christ. We all know Jesus was without sin. He came to carry our sins. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with, here it is, the precious blood. Can you scream out blood? Can you put in the chat blood? We're going to talk about blood a lot today. Without blemish, the blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Can I say that again? But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, covered in the blood. That's what the Lord was saying in Exodus. He said, I want you to get a lamb without blemish. So he is making that comparison, that jump and link to his own son, Jesus the Christ. Now notice as the story unfolds in Exodus 12:6, as God gives more direction to the children of Israel, he says, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Here's a point. What can wash away my sins? Yes, what can wash away my sins? Now, the details are so important within the scripture, and so many times we can get caught up in it. We just kind of go over it real quickly, but I want you to really, really embrace how important the blood is. Robert Lowry in 1886 wrote these lyrics, and I think all of us know. I just want to read through it real quick. It says, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I've done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus." You know this. All precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're covered in the blood. Any witnesses out there? Exodus 12:6. "Now you shall keep it the 14th day of that same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel," this is important, man, it stuck out to me, "shall kill it at twilight." I was like, kill it at twilight? Why? Why is that term so important? The details, the message is in the detail. I'm telling you, this is going to bless you here. The word twilight is very, very significant. A pastor and theologian, John MacArthur, he brings out something that's going to bless you. He wrote this. He says, "Since the new day was reckoned from sunset, the sacrificing of the lamb or kid was done before sunset while it was still day 14 of the first month. Twilight has been taken to signify either that the time between sunset and the onset of darkness, or from the decline of the sun until sunset. Later, Moses would prescribe the time for the sacrifice as in the evening at sunset." Now, according to Josephus, he was a historian in that time, actually outside of the biblical text, that visioned or saw what was going on. He said it was customary in his day to kill the lamb at about 3 p.m. Yes, 3 p.m. For some of my Bible scholars, like 3 p.m., where have I seen that? This was the time of day that Christ, the Christian's Passover lamb, died. Isn't God good? I'm telling you, we are covered in the blood. All those things in 1445 BC that were taking place with the children of Israel, God had a plan. He had a plan to bless us, to redeem us, to deliver us. But the only way it could be done was by his son, Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. There ought to be some hallelujahs and praise. What can wash away my sins? Everything down to the lamb's bones not being broken were prophetic in the scriptures. John 19:36 talks about this. "For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken." Specifically, as you go down in the chapter, it talks about that. And God says, "I've given these details. I've given this prescription so that you can know when the Lamb of God comes, you can know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." But notice, I don't want to forget this. Exodus 12:7. And it says, "And they shall take some of the blood." Can you put it in the chat again? Blood, blood. "They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." And so I need you to get that picture. Covered in the blood. Literally, they would get the lamb and they would begin to prepare it. They would drain the blood out, and so they just wouldn't discard that blood. God said, "I want you to keep the blood, and I want you to take a portion of that blood, and I want you to put it over your doorposts, and I want you to put it down on the outside, the two posts that where the door opens up, and that's going to represent a covering." Many times when I go to homes and I pray over the house and I dedicate the house, I have a bottle of oil that I'll give to the family, and I'll have them to actually anoint over the doorpost, and that is an example of covering. I said sometimes you can be sitting in your house and you're going to see that little cross that you put over that lintel or the doorpost, and it's going to remind you that you're covered. And I want you to know that we are covered in the blood. And the Israelites, they would put took that blood, but I need you to get that picture. It was literally blood. It was red. So every time they would peek out that door, they would look up. They would see that blood was on that lintel. Every time they would look up at their door on the sides, they would see that blood was all over it. And saints of God, you got to know, when you walking through this life, even though we can't see it physically, we are covered in the blood of Jesus. There ought to be some saints say, I'm going to scream out the blood of Jesus. It will never lose its power. It's still working in us, covered in the blood. Look at Exodus 12:8. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire. Somebody, can you put fire in the chat? That's powerful. In the fire, its head with its legs and its entrails, you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. There it is again, fire, fire, fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Here's the point. We are on the move. Yes, we are on the move. The Israelites here were blessed with this prescription, this mandate. Said, okay, I need you to eat it. You need to prepare it right. But you're going to have to leave real quick. See, when Pharaoh is broken after this 10th plague, he's going to say, get out. Take everything. Take the flocks. Get out. I know God is God, and you're going to be on the move. And it's the same thing with us. When we realize that we're saved and we've been delivered and set free, the enemy's going to be on our path. We're on the move, but we know that we are covered in the blood. And so as they're eating this, God said, go ahead and put your belt on, have your clothes on, everything, because literally you're gonna eat and you're gonna move, but you can't have any waste. We got to make sure we're sharing it with our neighbor. We got to make sure that it's roasted, that the fire burns it all up. Also, God wanted that in that lamb being completely consumed. It was a comparison to what Jesus did. He gave his totality for us. Jesus talks about this close unity that he gave to the Father, and also wanted us to be a part of it. In John 10:30, he says, I and my Father are one. Can you put one in the chat? One in the chat. That is so important, because he desires the same thing for us. Paul the Apostle, led of the Spirit, solidifies this thought in 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, yes, it's Communion Sunday, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, talking about the blood. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, covered in the blood. Here it is in that 26th verse. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We're on the move. That unity is so important with the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 22:20, it says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Here it is in my blood. Put it in the chat. Blood, blood. Wherever you're standing, sitting, say blood, which is shed for you. Jesus paid it all for us so that we could be covered. His blood was shed for us. We become one with Christ and are on the move daily for his glory. We're covered in the blood. Are there any shouts of praise out there? Can you just put some emoticons there, some hands lifted up, wherever you're standing, sitting? Can you just give God some praise that we are covered in the blood? I told you we're going to dig deep today. Let's go to Exodus 12:12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Here's the point. One word, judgment. Judgment. I must be honest, I just really wanted to jump to the next verse, because that's where I wanted to kind of sum this all up at, but I couldn't just skip this. Because you got to realize, without being covered in the blood, you are guaranteed judgment. Yes, there is no forgiveness of sin. That's why Jesus came, that we could be covered in the blood and we could be forgiven of our sins. Leviticus 17:11 brings this out. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood," there it is again, "that makes atonement for the soul." Without accepting Jesus' sacrifice and what he did at Calvary, there is no forgiveness. There is no covering in the blood. And in this Exodus 12:12, we notice without that, there is judgment. "For I will pass through the land," God says, "of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment." He says, "I am the Lord." This 10th plague was horrendous that was coming. And the reason was they were not covered in the blood. Remember that description that was given to the children of Israel, that they had to put the blood over the lintel so they could be covered from the death angel. But the enemy, Pharaoh and his people, they took light of what was going on. And so now judgment comes. And I want to speak to you. If you take light of what Jesus Christ has done, if your heart is not softened, and you don't reach out and realize that you are a sinner that can be saved by God's grace, there is judgment on the way. Just as final judgment occurred for Egyptians, there'll be a final judgment for mankind. Revelation 20:11 talks about this. "Then I saw a great white throne, on him who sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." Listen to this, that 13th verse. "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged." Yes, can you put in the chat, "judge, judge, judge, each one according to his works." 14th verse. "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Can you type "second" wherever you're standing, sitting? Say "second, second, second death." Revelation 20:15. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I pray that you are covered in the blood. Anybody covered in the blood? I am covered in the blood. And I am so glad that because of what Jesus Christ has done for those who are blood bought, those who have confessed him as Lord, we have been written in the Lamb's book of life. There ought to be some shouts of praise, because God is so good. Let's get this final verse as we sum this up. Exodus 12:13. "Now the blood," can you put it in the chat, "the blood" again, I told you we're talking about the blood today, "covered in the blood, shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood," there it is again, the blood, "I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Final point. Thank God for the blood. Yes, thank God for the blood. In order to have an appreciation for this, we really have to grasp the New Testament of Romans 3:23. It said, "For all," can you put in the chat, all, wherever you're standing, sitting, say, "all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So all of us, there's no one that's perfect. There's no one that has not sinned. The only one that was sinless was Jesus the Christ. Romans 3:24 says, "Being justified freely by his," that's the Lord's "grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood." Go ahead and put it in the chat, blood, blood, wherever you stand in sin, say "blood," "through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sin." Are you covered in you missed that. "In his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed." Isn't God good? We are covered in the blood because of God's grace and his mercy. He looked past us and he saw his son Jesus and that perfect sacrifice. Therefore, we can say we are covered in the blood. It's not because we're perfect. It's not because we haven't messed up. We just covered. Can you lift up your hands and just say, "I'm covered, I'm covered"? The Spirit speaks strongly in Hebrews 9:18. "Therefore, for not even the first covenant was dedicated," here it is again, "without blood." Hebrews 9:19, "For
when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, here it is. He took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, here it is. This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise, he sprinkled, here it is, with blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified. Here it is, with blood and without shedding of, here it is, blood. There is no remission. Is there anybody covered in the blood? That's why what Jesus did is so important today. Are there any witnesses in the house? I know you feeling it like I'm feeling it. And I got excited about the blood. You know that you're covered in the blood. It produces something on the inside. That's why Jesus had to come for us. I thank God for the miracles. I thank God for the teaching. But we need to thank him for the sacrifice. Can you put in the chat, sacrifice? Thank the Lord for sacrificing himself for us. Matthew 27:29 talks a bit about that sacrifice. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. The blood began to stream down, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Can you see our Jesus, our Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Blood is coming down his face, not because he deserved it, but all because of us. But Matthew 27:30, then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. Blood is coming down. It's mixed with spit of the enemy. And now they take that rod and hit him upside the head. Contusions are occurring there. But I'm so glad that I'm covered in the blood. Aren't you glad for the cross of Calvary, where he took nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and the blood came out and streamed down his arms and his legs? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad, as the blood dripped down the cross, that the story is not over, that he looked down on the crowd and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He told the thief that came to himself, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." He cries out, "It's finished." The sun refuses to shine. An earthquake breaks out. They take that lifeless body off of the cross and put it in a barred grave. But I'm so glad to let you know, 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory. And now he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And I can proclaim and yell today, I am covered in the blood. Are there any saints out there say, I'm covered in the blood? I thank God for the blood. Saints, we are blessed. As you can see from the scriptures, the blood of Jesus is powerful. God had a plan from the foundation of the earth, and the only way we could be redeemed was for him to send his only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, to shed his blood for us, the sacrifice for our sins. God had been working it out even from Genesis with Cain and Abel. Remember, God covered Adam and Eve before that even happened, as they sinned in the garden. And then Cain and Abel, and we see Abel said his blood screamed out from the ground. That blood, sacrifice after sacrifice, was made throughout the Old Testament. But guess what? It still couldn't wash away our sins. But then Jesus came. Yes, went to the cross for us, shed his His purifying blood. And now, as saints of God, we can proclaim we are covered in the blood. If you don't know Jesus today, I pray that this message has touched you. I pray that a light has come on by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And now, man, you're on your knees, or you're standing and you're like, God, I am a sinner. I need that cleansing blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. I encourage you to call out to him right now, Jesus, save me. Change me from the inside out. He's the only one that can do it. And I found out, if you call on him with a sincere heart, he will. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Oh, what a celebration as you're covered in the blood with me. To the saints, because we're covered in the blood, God wants us to be on the move. He wants us to celebrate what he is doing inside of us. And he wants to tell others that Jesus is still in the saving business. We are covered in the blood. No matter what we're going through, no matter what stresses that we have in our lives, we know that the blood never loses
its power through Jesus. Oh, that is good news. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this lesson today. Thank you for these scriptures. Thank you for your blood. Father, thank you for your son that you sent for us. We could not do it in ourselves. We had failed miserably, but you had a wonderful, spectacular plan of redemption. Thank you that you manifested through your son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. Now, Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for so many times taking for granted the blood of your son. And today, Lord, help us to be on task. Help us to get back to the basics. Help us to stand strong as we can proclaim we are covered in the blood. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a place in heaven prepared for me. When the toils of this life is over, where the saints are clothed in white before the throne, singing praises evermore. In my Father's house, there are mansions bright. If he said it, then I know it's true. There's a place for me before the throne, and brothers and sisters, there's one for you.
It is so wonderful to be able to take communion with you, especially after we just came through that message, covered in the blood. I am glad that God allowed it to happen today, that we could go through this message and it be Communion Sunday, because now we have a real, deep respect for the blood of Christ and what he's done for us. So before we partake of this communion, I want you to examine yourself. Go ahead and get your articles, bread, juice, got those cups from the church. Get those out. If you don't, hey, just find something that can symbolize what we are doing today as we think about Jesus the Christ. So glad to have Bianca with us. I'm going to ask her to open up and pray over the bread and pray over the juice as the Lord examines our hearts and we take communion.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your son Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you for his sacrifice that allows us to have a real and right relationship with you, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of our souls, Lord, because of his spilt blood. We thank you for this juice that represents his blood, Father, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you for the bread that represents his body that was broken for us. Lord, help us to remember and hallow this sacrifice, Lord, that we not take it in an unworthy manner, but that we take it knowing the good and wonderful plan and purpose that you have fulfilled through Jesus Christ, that we might bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead and get that article. We've gone through the scriptures, I'll tell you. We've preached through it. So now it's time to take it. Jesus goes into that upper room, that final Passover, and he gets the bread and he breaks it. And he says, this represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as we eat together, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat. Then he picks up that goblet, and this is the heavy part. It's wine, and it's the color of blood. And he says, this represents my blood. Just say blood, blood. This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as we drink, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Saints, communion is so special as we commemorate what Christ has done for us. And we know that we are covered in the blood. As you go through your day, I want you to focus on the fact of what God is doing on the inside and that you can glorify him in everything that you do. Share Christ with someone today and tell them this, you are covered in the blood. Until we meet again, you be blessed.